Hey everyone, the Vern here, Cinema Recall Podcast, just here to let you all know that this is an exclusive Patreon episode. This episode is only for Patreon members, patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. Regular listeners will get a preview of this episode, but in order to hear the whole thing, you have to be a Patreon member to do so. Again, patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. And thank you very much for listening and supporting the podcast. Here we are right now talking about JFK with Donnie Roberts. Enjoy. This podcast may contain adult language, adult situations, and some movie spoilers. So listener discretion is advised.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Cool.
Jack Burton, me.
You're a bluebird. You're a brownie. You're a Girl Scout cookie.
He doesn't know how to use the three seashells.
I used to love Doggy Chow.
I used to love Doggy Chow, too.
Want a date? Going out? Looking for some action? Need some company?
This is a snakeskin jacket. For me, it's a symbol of my individuality and my belief in personal freedom.
It's not important, okay? You're not important. Get used to it.
Baby, you are gonna miss that plane.
Welcome to the Cinema Recall Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this exciting episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast, exclusively for Patreon servers right now, Patreon subscribers of patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. It's another new episode of Donnie's Choice. It's been a long time since our good buddy Donnie Roberts has been on the show to talk about a movie that he likes. And welcome back to the show, Donnie Roberts. Hello out there. Hello, Donnie.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be back.
It's so good to have you here. Donnie is the writer of the book, The Deep Sea Anthologies. I highly recommend you check out part one. We'll get into more about that later on during the show. But yes, if you saw the tab, we are talking about the movie JFK starring Kevin Costner, directed by Oliver Stone, featuring a whole slew of cast members. I cannot wait to get into this conversation. Donnie, thank you very much for being here and doing this with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I should let our audience members know that you can find Cinema Recall on a plethora of podcast options. Good Pods, Podchaser, Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Newsly. Newsly is an all-in-one audio app for iOS and Android phone. It picks up the most trending articles on the web and reads them to you in natural human voice. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable. Stop scrolling. Start listening. Go to newsly.me. Use the promo code RECALL and get 1 month free of their premium service. Now, Donnie, you're new. You haven't been here in a while. What's been up with you, buddy?
Oh, man. A lot. I had so much planned. I was so ready to get into. I had a month of adult films I was going to start reviewing. I was going to do a month of Vinegar Syndrome movies, and I was going to do another shark month. But I ended up doing something unthinkable, and I got a job with Amazon. So that took up a lot of my time.
Sure.
So I kind of put those things on the back burner, but I'm getting back into it. I got some things coming down the pipeline. I've been rewriting some of the Deep Sea Anthology that you mentioned earlier. So I've got a lot of my plate I've been working on, but I still kept wanting to come back here because there are so many films that need to be talked about. And we still need to talk about, if you haven't already, The Exorcist Believer, or whatever the fuck they call that travesty of a film. It's just Exorcist the Abortion at this point. But yeah, I am not happy with a lot of movies right now.
It's funny too, because a lot of people say that The Exorcist 2, The Heretic, is the black sheep of that franchise. But
it's
you're
not anymore.
No, it's The Exorcist Believer. And it's now streaming on Peacock. I know I can watch that and watch the original one. And it's been a while since I've seen the original. So I need to. That'll be our next episode of Donnie's Choice. We'll just gotta find a date to do that. But I'm totally down of talking about both those movies and how they shit the bed on that stuff, like retconning things and doing a direct sequel to it. I'm going to get into our Rage Corner brought to you by Film Rage Podcast. And there's a small little rage where sequels have to mention the first one. They retcon things or change things that happen so that, oh no, the sequels didn't matter. It's like in the Halloween franchise where they retcon the whole thing where like Halloween 2 and Halloween 4 never actually happened. It just goes from John Carpenter 78 because that's a classic. And now this is going to be a new trilogy and it forgets the other ones. I don't buy into that, the whole alternate timeline. Because now I'm afraid that there's going to be a Halloween movie where you have Laurie Strode from the 2018 timeline, and then she teams up with the Laurie Strode from the 1981 timeline, and then now they get together and have to fight Michael Myers. And
Then you still had people inside the damn movie making cameos that were in the other retconned movies. I have a lot of problems with that, especially the third one they put out. And that is, if I could rage on something a little less than the new Exorcist movie, it would be the third film in that franchise, because that had potential to be something really, really fun, especially with the cliffhanger they had in the second one. The Halloween Ends, I think, was the second one.
Halloween Kills.
Halloween Kills, yeah. But even then, it's like they just they decided they wanted to get creative and decided evil exists anywhere and everywhere. Oh, and by the way, we're going to throw Michael Myers in a wood chipper just because lols.
And I totally get rage with that. And I liked that new character in Halloween Ends. I just wanted him to be introduced earlier so that we could get more rapport with him.
Exactly.
At the start of Halloween Ends, when he accidentally gets blamed for killing a kid and things are wrong for him, they didn't.
Hilariously killing a kid.
Yeah, like this would be a great character for a different movie, not for a Halloween movie.
Exactly.
And I know what they're trying to do because Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, was a different storyline. But if you're going to do that, just do that storyline. Don't put Michael Myers in, just do that storyline. That would have been epic. If they would have just done that story instead of Michael Myers, I would have been down with the movie a little bit more.
Absolutely. Cool. And even John Carpenter, that was his original idea with part 3, was like, okay, we killed Michael, so let's do something different. Let's go and do something else that happens that's mysterious and spooky and supernatural on Halloween. And people at the time were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But it's like, now it would make sense.
I do have another small rage. Not so much a small rage, more like a sort of thing. Because I just got back from seeing The Zone of Interest, the new film from Jonathan Glazer that's being up for a few Oscars, including Best Picture. And I was just like, in the words of Film Rage, I was like, meh, it was a thing. I don't know if you know about this movie at all, Donnie.
Oh, I've heard a little, yeah.
Okay. For our listeners out there, it's the story about a family living near a concentration camp. And that's basically it. You go through their daily activities, farming and playing toys and swimming in pool. And in the background, you hear the horrific screams and gunshots of stuff happening at concentration camps, and that's it. I would like this movie more if it was a short film, like 20 minutes long. And I really think that this movie could be improved if you made the focus of the movie on the kids. And they're just kids. Their dad's going off to work. They have no idea about what's going on, beyond the walls. They just know that their dads are going to work. And I would have ended it with the little boy being able to go to work with his dad and seeing all the atrocities at the end as you do. And I have a title for the movie. It's a little bit shocking, but I think it would work, being the fact that these concentration camps deal with putting millions of human beings in ovens. I would have called it Chimney Sweepers or The Chimney Sweeper.
I mean, it works.
Because they just think their dad just cleans chimneys. They have no idea that he's responsible for killing millions of people.
Yeah.
And the end shots, which you'd see all the shoes and clothes and artifacts of these Jewish citizens. And you realize at the end, oh, their dad's a Nazi. But throughout the course of it, you have no idea about it because you're just focusing on these kids. And you had no idea that their dad is this evil Nazi, you know, dictator, you know, person, whatever.
Yeah, just less in your face.
Yeah, I think that would be have a much more effective thing for it. That's just my take on it. So
yeah, and when I heard about the movie, it honestly made me think of The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
See, I have not seen that one.
Okay, you might want to check it out. But yeah, I wasn't sure about seeing that film. I was like, oh, I got a lot I want to see, but I just started hearing about it. My main thing was just wanting to see what will happen with Dune 2, because I just, oh man.
Okay, well, did you see Dune 2?
No, I have not yet. That's okay. Why I'm waiting. That's all I've been hearing about is people talking about. I'm like, okay, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? But that's fair. I was going to say, I do have a bit of a rage that fits into this movie, and it gives me a question for you. Have you ever been a part of your own conspiracy?
I have not been part of my own conspiracy. Are you talking about the JFK movie or from Zone of Interest?
Oh, I'm talking about from the JFK movie. I'm just saying, have you ever yourself been a part of one?
I have not been, at least unless you know me for being part of what, Donnie? Should I be worried?
No. You know, we don't have the recording still of you doing a strip tease when we watched, you know, Showgirls, but...
Well,
you know.
Shoot. You don't know me very well, Donnie. Yeah,
that's just nothing. That's a Friday for you. But I do have something of a conspiracy that fits in, and that's my fight with Nintendo, because I believe they owe me money, and they will never admit to this, but I believe I created the Wii.
You created the Wii?
Yes, I believe I did, because back in 92, it was 91, 92, Nintendo Power did an article about Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi. And they were asking fans, what would you like to see in the game that would make it amazing? What is something that we could do to make this game better? And I sent them details and a drawing I did of what I called a handheld wand that you could use in game as a lightsaber that would mimic your movements outside of the game and put them into the game as you're playing. And they wrote me a letter back a couple months after, and they just jokingly said, hey, that's a pretty fun idea, but we can't do that. And that's not a viable thing for a video game, but we appreciate it. I'm like, okay, whatever. Fast forward to 2006. Here comes the Wii with the Wii remote / wand, and it does the exact same goddamn thing.
Do you still have that original letter that you wrote to Nintendo?
I have their response letter, but I do not have the letter I wrote to them because I did not have the forethought to make a copy of that as a child.
I wonder if you can have that letter that's dated that they sent to you that you can, you know, find a lawyer to, but then you got to worry about lawyer costs too.
Well, I think that's part of my main concern, but the other concern is that even mentioning this now, I'm afraid I may find myself getting a knock in my door sometime, and then I may not be heard from again for a very long time.
You might as well show up at your door, but, ha ha, it's me, Mario!
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm breaking your face. With my luck, it'll be John Leguizamo, and I'll just say, I'm sorry you got ignored in your movie.
Yeah, or they're like, you're forced to watch our movie from 1993 over again. Which I would be fine with that, because I don't mind that movie. All right, Well, let's get into our conversation about Oliver Stone's JFK. Here is a TV spot.
From the shadow of a doubt.
Who would leave a path as big as Lee Harvey Oswald?
To the darkest suspicions.
Nobody's going to tell me that kid did the shooting job he did from that damn bookstore.
One man would make a dangerous journey.
Don't you think the Kennedy assassination is a little bit out of your domain?
Looking for the truth.
Oswald's been shot!
Kevin Costner in an Oliver Stone film.
Nothing is going to keep me from my investigation of John Kennedy's murder.
JFK, rated R, starts Friday, December 20th at a theater near you.
JFK is directed by Oliver Stone, and it tells the story of New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison discovers there's more to the Kennedy assassination than the official story. The cast, main cast, is Kevin Costner, and I know at this time Kevin Costner was a huge star. This is before Waterworld, but definitely after Bull Durham, and so it made sense that he would become the lead in this. Now, when this movie came out, because I know my folks talked a lot about the Kennedy assassination, but were you following this at all, Donnie, or were you hearing the stories from your folks? I mean, what's your kind of history with like Kennedy assassination, all that?
Yeah, same thing. When this came out, I was a kid in school, and this was really big with my parents, and it was really big at the time when it came out because it was Oliver Stone, which is always a big deal. And it was another one of those, it's kind of rare to see nowadays with Hollywood, but it was a big, big Hollywood cast. And you had everyone who was anyone in this film right then at that time. And I, up to that point, had not really heard too much about the assassination, but my dad was a history buff, and he absolutely was why we went and saw that. And my mom loved Kennedy as a president, my dad loved him, and they just thought, okay, this is going to be a big movie, we need to see this. And afterward, I started getting more and more into it, because I loved the film when I saw it.
Yeah, because I remember when this movie came out, all the conspiracy, how the government was involved, because for years, we were always just told it was just one lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, played brilliantly by Gary Oldman in this movie. Movie was based on books written by Jim Garrison, Jim Mars, and then Oliver Stone, they all collaborated on the screenplay for this. And while you're watching this movie, because Kevin Costner plays the role of Jim Garrison, and he's going to investigate about the death of the president, and he's not totally convinced that it was just one person. And while watching this movie, folks, it almost feels like when each character comes on, that is that actor's guest spot. Like, if this was turned into a TV series, each character would have his or her own sort of like guest appearance. Like, ladies and gentlemen, today's special guest star, John Candy, or today's special guest star, Walter Matthau, Sally Kirkland. Like, and each of these characters, these actors, just shine wonderfully in this movie. I think that the way that Oliver Stone used different technical formats works very well. And I think it works even better in this than the most recent Oppenheimer, where it does use different film stocks, but the film stocks in JFK seem to work better because it feels like I'm watching a documentary at times.
Yeah.
And then it feels like I'm watching a docudrama. Just, yeah.
It also had more poignancy with each one they use, especially when they started integrating the Zapruder film and using that throughout too. And I know you watched the theatrical cut, which was actually longer than the director's cut. And I watched the director's cut, and the director's cut had a couple more flashbacks, but most of the extended stuff was conversational, and it was just kind of extending the conspiracy talk. But again, it's just with the way it was shot, it held you there. It really pulled you in. Oppenheimer, you're hitting the nail on the head there. It's like, that's exactly what it did not do. It's like, I got why they shot it the way they did, and that's fine. But still, you can't copy brilliance. It's like you can only mimic it. And even like you mentioned, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon in this. Jack Lemmon, as little as he's used in this, beautifully shot. Great acting in it. I mean, he's as small as a part as he had. It was just absolutely wonderful seeing him.
Because, yeah, he has like a short little scene with Ed Asner. And they are, I guess, Jack Lemmon's character is discovering things that are happening. And as Asner's like, you gotta be quiet about this. And he beats him with a gun. It's very bizarre.
They were drinking. Yeah, they were drinking at the bar, and they came back, and he beat him. He's like, "I thought you were on our side or my side, and you followed my politics. I gotta beat you now."
That's right. You're a damn comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
It almost feels like there's like this differences going on right now between Americans and people who are considered like commies, and I was. The whole thing when watching the movie is that I am not paying attention too much to like political power. I'm more interested in like the cover ups of things. So there's a great sequence where Jim Garrison is sitting down with Dean Andrews, played by John Candy. And he says, I can't talk anymore. Dean Andrews saying that I can't talk anymore about this. All right. They're going to find me and they're going to hurt me. And you better be quiet about this too, thing, Jim, because they're going to jump all around your little head with this conspiracy of yours. You know, like, they will come after me and kill me. And then you even got the sequences with Donald Sutherland as Mr. Ents that gives everything away. That you know, brilliant monologue sequence right there. Yeah. But like I said before, you're just kind of like watching him go through these different characters and the different cases that lead up to this. And the movie doesn't really give you an answer, which I do kind of appreciate it when I watched it again this time, because you expect this big outcome. And even though they do bring a character to trial, the character of Clay Shaw, played by Tommy Lee Jones, they do bring him to trial to sort of like bring more trials out after this, and nothing happens. I do appreciate that. This is one of those like long movies that doesn't feel long watching it too. So yeah, I don't think audiences today would appreciate the length of this unless this was a TV show. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I'm here. I'm here.
I get worried with sometimes on the shows right here too. Till my, I don't know if my computer's working well or not. So,
but yeah, I like you were saying, this is a like a mini series. This would have been amazing, and it would have been even more wonderful if it were longer. But what I really liked is at the time when I was a kid, it really sparked my interest, even though I could see how some people could get bored with it or feel it goes over your head, because it does throw a lot at you. But as an adult and as a teenager rewatching this, because I have watched it so many times on my own, this thing just, I love it. I can laugh at it. And with all that it feeds you, it never really comes off as too much. It's just kind of like enough to get you going to say, look, this could have happened, that could have happened. But the main thing here is what we were told is not what happened. And it just kind of leaves you from there.
And I like movies that don't talk over my head with a bunch of like scientific or political jargon. All I need, even if you have no recollection about the historical content of this movie, you can still follow it very easily. The president got killed. A district attorney wants to investigate about what actually happened. And everyone is trying to tell him, no, it's just one guy. One guy did this. But he's thinking in his head, no, it just can't be just one guy. All right. And then you discover things about Lee Harvey Oswald, about how he was able to like work in the same town where all these government buildings are happening. And he's trying to, because Lee Harvey Oswald is trying to sell like communist propaganda, And Kevin Costner's character is like, how is he able to do this when you're right next to the Pentagon here, another government building here? Like, how is it being able to happen? And it feels like he's trying to prove that Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy of whoever actually really did kill him. And he doesn't know for sure who it was, but he's just saying that it's just not right that it's this one person. And everyone else wants him to go the other way. I mean, even his own wife, played by Sissy Spacek. Yeah. I'm going to go through all the cast members in this because the whole thing is filled with great cast members. And I just like following the mystery of it. And yes, it's a movie that I will go back to again and again just because I just like the whole mystery aspect of it.
I mean, the mystery is great. And it's also just, it's such an honestly interesting and dark history in our time at that point, because we had a lot of big people that were just being killed off, and it was just kind of accepted. It's like, wow, the president's gone. Oh my God, Martin Luther King's gone. Oh my God, his JFK's brother's now gone.
Yeah, like
all these things, one close after the other.
Exactly, Donnie. They were all happening like one after another. It was just very surprising times where if you spoke up too much, you could be killed. And a lot of these people were kind of speaking up against the dangers and the hypocrisies of our government and want us to be better. And I worry sometimes about if we do get, you know, another president that is going to speak out, what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. And that's what's kind of sad. I mean, if you look at it, especially, and that's, I really try to stay out of politics a lot of the time because my family has been so fun with that. With my father used to be a very conservative Republican. My sister used to be a, she kept saying she was independent, but she was very liberal leaning. And my aunt was a Democrat. So getting us all together on family outings, all you had to do was mention the current president and you had entertainment for a good two solid hours. Sure. But it's like when you look at current elections, the past elections, people tend to forget a lot of these things repeat. It's everyone doesn't the presidents lately have not really had staying power or made as big an impact as people as Kennedy had. But he also had a lot of big things on his plate that people don't really think about nowadays as to what was going on, why so many people were upset at him at the time, which is just kind of astronomical to even try and, you know, wrap your head around why people would be upset. We did not go to war, and why we did not want to stay in a place like Vietnam, which again, very hot topic if you want to get into that with someone.
Sure. Yeah. Cause I think I knew that JFK was trying to end things in Vietnam.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he was trying to start the space race and get things, you know, back up and running there too. But then people were saying there too that he was for the space race, but didn't want to end poverty, and he was against, like, you know, black people rising up. And I'm like, I don't think that's necessarily the case, but then again, I don't know. Then again, people want to try to like devoid everything and say that, well, yes, but don't forget about his affair with Marilyn Monroe, and he's not very a faithful person. So I don't know exactly what's going on with their two. And sometimes you just follow
it's
what he did. His president, he was only president for not even a full term, so it's hard to say. Yeah. And I believe, wasn't this going to be happening right before an election coming up there?
Yeah. There was, gosh, they kept talking about that. They also talked about how they had talked about his plans for moving forward. So I think this was, my mind's kind of blank because I've had so much to deal with today, but I believe it was before midterm. Something like that was coming up in there because he only served, I want to say, half of his term, if even that. So. Yeah.
Well, regardless of what you think of Mr. Kennedy as a president, like I said before, when watching JFK, you don't really need to know about that. It doesn't really go heavily into his politics. I do know that in the section where Jim Garrison is talking to Mr. Etz, and how Mr. Etz said that JFK was going to end the war, and the people in the government was not liking that at all. and they had him killed because of that.
Yeah.
If that's something you want to believe, that's fine. I'm not sure, but it makes for a very interesting story. I do want to talk a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
So I do want to get into some of the, you know, actors in this movie, because we mentioned that there's a whole slew of them. I'm going to start right now with Gary Oldman as Lee Harvey Oswald. I thought he did an excellent job. Looks very scary similar to him. And what I like the best about his portrayal of Lee Harvey Oswald is that this is a guy that just kind of got caught up in stuff. And the wrong guy at the wrong time.
Yeah. That's, again, it's what I really liked about how their performances with a lot of these people were. It's so minimal, but damn, they're so powerful.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app, or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Cinema Recall Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Well, that's it. That's the end of the episode with Donnie Roberts. Big shout out to him for being on the show with us. Had a fun time talking about JFK. If you want to hear the full version of this episode, head on over to patreon.com/CinemaRecallPod. And just for like $3, you can hear the full, complete version of this episode. I should let you all know too that Donnie is one of our $10 tier members, which means that he has a chance to come back on and pick a topic in the entertainment industry, and we'll do a episode on that. So if you want to be like Donnie, head on over to our Patreon page, and you too can pick any movie topic you want and be on the show. And this is part of the show right now where I do want to give a shout out to all of our wonderful Patreon members. I cannot express how much joy and happiness that you bring to us, and I thank you all very much. So in no special order right now, these are all amazing people. Please check out their websites. But I want to thank Jeanette Mickenham at AKA Jeanette. Thank you very much. I want to thank Matt and Ashley from Mashley at the Movies. Again, thank you so much. Jason Soto of Rabbit Hole Podcast. Thank you very much, Jason. I want to thank Donnie Roberts, who is one of our $10 tier members. Thank you very much, Donnie Roberts. Appreciate that very much. I want to thank Linda Castro of Bed Knobs and Broomflits. Again, thank you very much, Linda. I got to thank Harvey Andrus. Harvey Andrus is one of our other top tier members. Again, thank you very much, Harvey Andrus. And lastly, I want to thank Jen McQuaid of Shot and Applaud. She also does some work over at Podchaser, so big shout out to Jen McQuaid. Again, all these cats are wonderful. If you want to be like these cats and get a shout out on each of our episodes, please head on over to the Patreon page. Again, patreon.com/CinemaRecallPod. That's all I gotta say right now. Love you all very much. We will be back soon. Oh, check me out. I'm gonna be on the LAMBcast talking about the Neon Demon as the movie of the month. So be sure to check that out. I'll post links around social media about where you can find that episode. Anyways, folks, love you all, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.